You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You made it through another week, which means you are 1 week closer to the start of the 2019-2020 Sacramento Kings and NBA regular season beginning on October 23rd. We still got a long way to go, but if you're looking to bridge the gap between those two time periods, looking for something to carry you through and keep your Kings fix up, this is the place for you. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings, your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all offseason. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings every single month of the year, this is the place for you. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. We got a lot of things to get to today. I have a fun interview for you featuring a professional athlete that plays in Sacramento, but he doesn't play for the Sacramento Kings. He doesn't even play in the NBA. He doesn't even play basketball. He's a professional soccer player, Sam Werner, midfielder for the Sacramento Republic FC, which is the pro soccer club in Sacramento. He is also a diehard NBA fan, and he's going to be joining me today on the Locked On Kings podcast to talk and give his perspective on Kings basketball and a multitude of different stories around the NBA. Looking forward to sharing that with you. It was a fun conversation to have with him. Before we get to that, though, we have to discuss, unfortunately, the sad news about DeMarcus Cousins in a workout. Looked like a scrimmage that was taking place in Las Vegas earlier this week. DeMarcus Cousins suffered another catastrophic injury, tearing his ACL. And, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate. I really don't want to speculate on anything. I'm certainly not a doctor. But this is now close to four serious, significant injuries that he's dealt with over the last 2-3 years of his NBA career and his life as a human being. Very painful, very significant, very scary injuries that hurt you just as much mentally as they do physically. And stacking so many one on top of the other on top of the other on the shoulders of someone like DeMarcus Cousins, who is a pretty mentally strong guy who's been battling and working hard for the past 2 years to get back to just a fraction of what he was as a dominant NBA center with the Sacramento Kings to start his career. I don't know if this is it for him. I mean, he's still under contract with the Los Angeles Lakers, so he's still going to be getting paid, and he's not necessarily out of the NBA, so he does have time to try and rehab these injuries, but he's breaking down. I mean, you can just see this, the leg, his knee, his just everything is breaking down for him, and it's so sad because we know the talent that DeMarcus Cousins has and the talent that he is, and of course, there are many in Sacramento, myself included, that have been very critical of DeMarcus Cousins, who he is as a player, his attitude, the fire that he plays with, his ability to be a team leader, his ability to win in the NBA. He hasn't really done that with the exception of, he and the New Orleans Pelicans were playing very, very well before he got hurt there. And then he made it to the playoffs last year with the Golden State Warriors, but of course we all know that wasn't really him. He had very little to do with that. It's okay to be critical of DeMarcus Cousins, and it's okay to also look at the trade that the Kings made, trading away DeMarcus Cousins before paying him that 5-year Supermax, which, by the way, if they paid him that money, they'd be paying him $30-plus million a year, and this season that we're coming into would just be year two. Now, it's impossible to predict how things would have fared, but if DeMarcus Cousins was having these same injury issues, the Kings would be paying him going into year two of five, meaning 4 years left of someone who's barely touched the court over the last couple of seasons. So Kings dodged a bullet in this trade. It's okay to admit that while still feeling sorry and being professional towards handling this DeMarcus Cousins trade. Now, what's not okay and not professional, and I highly discourage, if not completely frown upon, any fan who maybe was anti-DeMarcus that uses his injuries as a "I told you so" or celebrates his injuries, say it was karma for his attitude or the kind of person that he was at times in Sacramento. Let me just completely cut that off as much as I can. DeMarcus Cousins had his issues with members of the media in Sacramento. Thankfully, I was never on the other end of his tirade, although I know for a fact I've written pieces and said things that he and his people have not liked when he was in Sacramento. But he never treated me with anything other than respect. And that's truthful. Now, other Sacramento media members can't say the same thing, and I understand that. But also, DeMarcus Cousins was an absolute blessing and is an absolute blessing to the Sacramento Kings community. What he has done with his Santa Cuz thing, paying for the funeral of a high school football player from Grant High School in Sacramento that passed away because of a shooting. DeMarcus Cousins has done so much for the Sacramento community and is such a phenomenal guy off of the court that it is horrific to even consider celebrating the fact or using his injuries and the struggles that he's going through physically as an argument against him just because maybe you didn't like him as a basketball player. So I wanted to make sure that was clear. I wanted to, on this platform, as small as my voice is in the grand scheme of things, he's hearing a lot better from a lot more important people, but to offer my condolences, and I hope, sincerely hope that this is not the end of DeMarcus Cousins. Nothing would make me happier, truly. Nothing would make me happier than to see DeMarcus Cousins get back to being completely healthy, get back to being dominant, even if it means he's wearing a Lakers jersey and torching the Kings inside the Golden 1 Center for that revenge narrative. I would rather see that than see him as a shell of his former self because injuries have completely torn him down. So, wishing the best for DeMarcus. If we hear any more news on that, of course, we will bring it to you here on the Locked On Kings podcast, but I can't even imagine the struggles that he's going through. And let's put things into perspective, too. He's a professional athlete. He has millions upon millions upon millions of dollars that he's made in his playing career. So there are certainly worse things a guy can be going through. I still have... These condolences, this feeling of sorrow and frustration and disappointment towards everything that's going on with DeMarcus Cousins, because I know who he is as a person. I know how hard he has worked to get back to getting healthy. I mean, he's done nothing else but over the last 2 years rehab, work, and fight. And that's not just a physical battle. That's just as much of a mental battle. And I have to imagine that this happening again, these three catastrophic injuries back to back to back. I can imagine if DeMarcus Cousins this week is feeling like his world has been completely torn out from underneath him. His career is over. He'll never be the same athlete again. And that's not something that's easy to deal with. And we know that athletes, especially after their careers are over, notoriously have issues, mental illness, things of that nature. And I'm not suggesting anything. I'm not suggesting DeMarcus Cousins is dealing with mental illness, but I know it's something that we have to be taken seriously. And we can't just dismiss it because he is a millionaire or because he's had a great basketball career or because there are other people in the world suffering maybe more than he has or he is physically. So just wanted to get that off my chest. I hope DeMarcus Cousins will be back. I hope DeMarcus Cousins, the NBA player, will return to the NBA court and can be what he used to be. And also, I want DeMarcus Cousins' legacy to be remembered as a dominant NBA center and not a injury-prone NBA center and what could have been narrative. That I don't think is fair. He's had a successful career, has put up some amazing numbers. Statistically, is one of the best Sacramento Kings of all time, even though he didn't win more than 31 games. And look, I've been just as critical of DeMarcus Cousins as many of you have been, as anyone has been in Sacramento. But I'm able to separate the criticism of the basketball player from the hope and the empathy for a human being that's going through a pretty tough time. So DeMarcus, wishing you the best of luck, hopefully a quick recovery for you, and I can't wait to see you back, hopefully one day. But that does it for that. We will also touch on this DeMarcus Cousins situation in my conversation with Sam Werner from the Sacramento Republic FC. I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. A bit of a different perspective, but I think you will enjoy it. Support for today's show comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below the belt grooming. You may have seen Manscaped on Shark Tank, and Men's Journal named their Lawnmower 2.0 as one of the best tools in men's grooming. You can get 20% off and free shipping with promo code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. That is LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. Enjoy my conversation with Sacramento Republic FC midfielder, professional soccer player, Sam Werner. Of course, the Sacramento Kings are the major sports franchise in town, but many of you know, and some of you don't who are outside the area, that they're not the only professional franchise in town. There's one semi-professional team, and that's the Sacramento Rivercats, who are AAA baseball. Now, they've been around for quite some time, but there's one team in particular
that is still here, that is really knocking on the door to get to the highest level of professional soccer. They're playing in the USL right now, and that's the Sacramento Republic FC. They're not an old club whatsoever. They've been around for 5-6 years in their inaugural season in the USL. They won the whole thing. They won the title. So they are the most recent team to bring a championship to Sacramento, which of course has gotten the community very, very interested. I cover and follow the Sacramento Republic during the summertime. I encourage you to do so, whether you're local or international. If you're looking for a club to add to your repertoire, the Sacramento Republic FC are definitely a good group to follow and be involved with. But I have an opportunity to interact with and speak with a lot of fantastic players, and so many of them, of course, their main interest is soccer. But they have interests off the pitch. And I had the opportunity not too long ago, before the season started, to sit down with then new, now well-seasoned Republic FC midfielder, winger. He plays everywhere. Goal scorer, let's put it that way. Sam Werner. And he told me quickly after our interview that he's a huge NBA and basketball fan. And from that moment on, I knew I had to sit down with him, get him on the Locked On Kings podcast to get a Sacramento pro athlete, but non-NBA athlete or basketball athlete perspective on what's going on in basketball. So we are currently sitting here at Papa Murphy's Park, which is where the Republic play. They have a match here coming up on Saturday, and Sam's nice enough to take the time. Sam, I appreciate you chatting some hoops with me. It's nice to talk something other than what's going on the
soccer. Exactly, yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So unfortunately, we have to start off on a morbid note because it's news that just broke. And this name is a very well-known and controversial name in Sacramento, and I know there are a lot of names like that in professional soccer, but DeMarcus Cousins, arguably one of the greatest Kings statistically of all time, never won more than 31 games here, has half the fan base or half the community that absolutely adores him and half the fan base that is really critical of who he was, his attitude, and things didn't work in his playing career. He was traded away, got hurt, has been dealing with massive injury issues, and today it was reported that he has once again torn his ACL in just training and practice scenarios and drills in Las Vegas in a workout. I don't know if his career is over. I don't want to speak on anything with that, but I want to know just your idea of DeMarcus Cousins, the dominant player that he is. How familiar are you, first and foremost, with DeMarcus Cousins, the basketball player, and his game?
I know he's a menace on the court, and so I think from he certainly is a divisive player, but you know, either way, whether you like him or not, I think just from a perspective of supporting athletes in their careers, you got to feel for him because it's a tough injury to suffer, and he's already had all those troubles in the last couple of years, so that's a tough one to swallow for sure.
Now, ACL injuries, leg injuries in general, that's something that affects you and your sport and your career just as much as it does a basketball player, and we're seeing these injuries more and more in the NBA, which is something that I know scares a lot of athletes.
Yeah.
But give me the athlete perspective of if you were playing and you suffered a non-contact injury, maybe you're on a full sprint or just trying to boot one or cross something in and all of a sudden something pops or tears, what does that do to you mentally as an athlete?
I think it sort of lays out a tough road ahead, a very long road at least, where, you know, at first you're obviously going to be down a little bit and thinking about how long you have to wait until you can play again, and then you just got to get back on the horse and start working on rehab, probably surgery in his case, and get back on the field or the court or whatever it may be. But, you know, I've never done an ACL, knock on wood, but I know that's been a big focus in soccer, at least, is in the last maybe 5 or 6 years, I've seen a lot more stuff with regards to before and after training preventative work that we do here every day, and I'm sure that's happening at the NBA as well. And so, you know, obviously that stuff's still going to happen, but it's certainly something that we're very wary of and try to prevent as much as we can.
And to be an athlete in any sport, you have to be a little insane to get to professional level, right? I mean, you just have to be dedicated to your craft. You work your body, are in the best shape of your life. But things like this happen that can mentally kill you almost as much as just physically take you out of things. I'm not going to ask you to put yourself into his mindset or to imagine what it would be like to suffer an injury like that. But what would you expect if you were to either give him advice or be along with him from just an athlete-to-athlete perspective? What would you expect him to do or try and mentally tell himself or say to himself to keep that career going or keep driven?
I think so much of sports, especially at the professional level, is mental. And so, you know, once you're at this level and you've had success at it, as he has, I think the pathway to your further success is literally 90% in your head. And so that obviously knocks you down a peg when you suffer an injury like that, but again, it's like, you know, you've you might have to cry about it, you might have to be pissed for a few days, but at, you know, at a certain point it's just like, all right, we're gonna get going again. The journey continues. It's a tough pill to swallow, but that's how it goes.
And of course, we both wish DeMarcus the best of luck. Now, you personally, your athletic career, you've kind of bounced all over the place, not just professionally, but you were telling me you went to high school in Portland, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But you
correct.
Grew up in Montana.
Yep.
And then you went to college and played for Stanford University here
yep.
in California, playing soccer there, had a great career there, and now
mm-hmm.
A pro career with the Sacramento Republic FC. So you've been everywhere. Before I ask you about your NBA affiliations,
mm-hmm.
now that you're ingrained in the Sacramento community, I know the Republic have a fantastic fan base that
yeah.
you see and interact with on a nightly basis, but how quickly did you learn, or when you started coming to Sacramento, and how quickly did you understand, man, the Kings are, and sports really in this community is
yeah.
everything?
Honestly, the first day I was here, I remember calling my parents because I didn't really know, I hadn't been in the city before, I didn't know much about it, and so my roommates and I, all of us were brand new. We drove downtown to find a place to get dinner and ended up right around the Kings Stadium.
Yeah.
And it was so clear that it was a very Kings-centric area, obviously, and there's all the restaurants and shops around it. And so we enjoyed strolling around and admired the stadium and all the stuff around it. And from then on, it was pretty clear that, you know, the support for them is massive here.
Before coming to Sacramento and Stanford and being around this community,
mm-hmm.
what was your idea or perspective of the Sacramento Kings? Was it kind of like the national side, which is, well, they were good in 2003, but you haven't
yeah.
heard anything from them since?
A little bit, yeah, honestly. And it's obviously, you know, it's sort of a small market team, so to speak. From a Montanan's perspective, I didn't think much of them, to be honest, but it's cool when you get into those markets and experience it yourself. I think I sort of have a soft spot in my heart for all the little small market teams around, whether that's in soccer or basketball or wherever else, because I think what people don't realize is that most of those places have more passionate fan bases than a big, like a Lakers or something like that, you know, where they have a global brand, but their identity within their city is so strong in those small market teams, and that's obviously evident with the Kings and with Republic here and stuff like that.
Now, you were, since you went to high school in Portland, I'm guessing I'm right in assuming that you're a fan or you follow or interested at least in the Portland Trailblazers,
yep,
correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, I mean, that fills that small market identity as well.
Yep,
Portland
it
has
does.
Been compared to Sacramento in certain ways. Same thing with Oklahoma City, San Antonio in terms
mm-hmm.
of market size, but rabid fan bases. We know Portland gets very, very loud.
Yeah.
During your time in high school there and in your time in Portland, were you around the Trailblazers a lot? Did you go to a lot of games?
I did go to a fair amount of games, and so that's when I first sort of started supporting them a lot. In Montana, I'd grown up a huge Kobe Bryant fan for whatever reason. That was one of my dad's favorite athletes, and so I also loved Kobe, and so I was a Lakers fan when I was younger.
Oh God,
and,
this is
yeah,
not
no,
good.
Sorry, but once I, you know, I'd never lived in a place with an NBA team, so once I,
of course,
you know, took root in Portland, and that had to become my team a little bit, and that was right during the time when Dame was sort of growing into who he is now.
LaMarcus
Aldridge.
Yeah,
and LaMarcus was there, so that was a super cool team in high school. And, you know, I still remember where I was in that game six shot against Houston,
oh.
all of that stuff. All my friends and I took our clothes off running around our friend's basement going crazy. But I do think there are a lot of comparisons market-wise
yep.
between the Blazers and here. So I think those two organizations have a lot in common for sure.
I mean, the birth of Dame time is exactly
yeah.
I mean, he had another shot like that in the playoffs just
mm-hmm.
this past year. And Damian Lillard certainly making a name for himself. The Kings actually open up the regular season against the Portland Trailblazers. They play Portland at home twice in the first really month of the season, late October and then early in November. And personally, I look at where the Kings are now and I look at where the Portland Trailblazers are, and I got to give the respect to the Trailblazers because they're an established playoff product and they have a
mm-hmm.
dynamite star in Damian Lillard. They
yep.
also have CJ McCollum,
CJ
which
as
isn't,
well, yeah.
isn't a bad complimentary piece.
Yep.
But I look at that roster and I compare it to the Kings roster and I see very specific similarities with with De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield as that backcourt,
mm-hmm.
young forward and Marvin Bagley. Do you see parallels between where Portland maybe was and is now and where the Kings are trying to go?
I think so. And you know, I remember being worried in high school when LaMarcus, and because a lot of pieces left
yeah.
after that year, and there were a little bit of rebuilding, but they did very well to get back to where they have been now, where they're a you know, playoff team, like you said. And so I think so. I mean, De'Aaron Fox obviously is a freak athlete. I'm excited to try and go watch him play in person this year. And the same sort of dynamic with CJ and Dame, I feel like, is pretty similar to him and Buddy Hield. And then Marvin Bagley is a monster as well. So I think he's going to be a very good player coming up soon.
And we know Kings fans have suffered through a lot pretty much over the last 13-plus years. No playoffs, and then the relocation saga that went down. Thankfully, mm-hmm. the Kings won that. It's their biggest win that they've had maybe ever. But the Portland Trailblazers, they went through some, at least the fans went through some pretty significant heartbreak as well. Maybe not necessarily in the relocation era, but what happened with Greg Oden and mm-hmm. then Brandon Roy.
Brandon Roy, of course,
just compared DeMarcus Cousins to Brandon Roy in the sense of, we're talking about what could have been with these guys.
Could've
Brandon Roy, maybe an MVP caliber player that was just so hindered with injuries.
Yep.
So do you feel a connection maybe to the Kings organization knowing that Blazers passed?
Yeah, I think a little bit. It's funny because there is so much in common with those two. And part of the Kings thing that I've liked so far is I'm always a fan of young players that like to make an impact. And so I also am a Duke fan, so Bagley is cool for me. And I think a lot of the young guys they have is just, it's something fun to watch. You know, they might not have the established players that other the really big organizations have, but that's a little bit to me sort of the same that the Blazers have, where they have guys that are really talented that play with a chip on their shoulder mm-hmm. and they're going to come out and entertain you. And so I think there are so many parallels between the two.
Sacramento's trying to become MLS, the Sacramento Republic. They've been trying for years. It's something that we've heard good things, we've heard bad things, we're hearing more patience. I believe, and from what I've been told, it's only a matter of time, and I know you're aware of that too, playing for the actual club, and mm-hmm. I know that's something that you and your teammates are certainly excited about. And one of the things that comes with it is this brand new, gorgeous, state-of-the-art stadium that they've at least proposed that would happen in downtown Sacramento. I looked at these drawings, I look at this renderings, I look at the location, how close it is to the Golden 1 Center, and I think, man, this stadium could rival the Golden 1 Center in terms of just where it could be, what it could do, a venue not just for matches, but outdoor concerts and things like that, which really mm-hmm. speaks to where Sacramento is going. How exciting is it to be a professional athlete in a community like Sacramento that compared to LA, Chicago, those big names, even Portland to some extent, it's like, it's kind of laughable. I mean, it's close to Tahoe, it's close to San Francisco, but it's just Sacramento. But Sacramento's growing, and you're an athlete in this city right now, maybe entering its prime.
Yeah, no, it's a fun time to be here. And I was saying this to someone the other day where, first off, having that sort of on the horizon is, it obviously makes my job a little bit more exciting. You know, I'd be happy playing soccer anywhere, but it's fun having sort of something dangling in the future that is where my goals are set on, and it happens to be in Sacramento where I am now, so that's pretty special. But I think with the stadium, with the fan base here, that's what a lot of people don't realize, like I just said with the small market thing, that I'm from Portland, like I said, so the fan base for the MLS team there, obviously with the Timbers, is incredible,
right?
But that's going to be rivaled here. I have no doubt in my mind that it will be. So that's just stuff that's going to keep on growing and growing. And I think I agree, in the next 3 or 4 years, Sacramento's sort of going to be in its prime, so to speak, athletically. It's going to be a really fun time here.
Well, of course, the MLS is the peak of the mountain in terms of professional soccer in the United States. Mm-hmm. But USL has grown a lot, tremendously, over the last few years, especially since I've been watching and I've been interested. I mean, the Republic won the championship, the USL championship, in their inaugural season, like I mentioned earlier, but the league has grown exponentially since then. There's a Western Conference and there's an Eastern Conference. You guys, of course, in the Western Conference, in the playoff picture right now, and it's a solid squad, but there's so much talent that's bounced through the USL Western Conference, which is great from a fan perspective, and I draw similarities to the state of the Western Conference in the NBA right now. I mean, the Western Conference in the NBA is just ridiculously stacked, loaded with talent. Now Kawhi's over here. I mean, Kevin Durant left, thank goodness, but he's injured right now, so he's not going to be playing.
Yep.
The Warriors are kind of falling off as the number one juggernaut dynasty. There's a lot of juggernauts now in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
As an athlete, as someone who plays in a difficult Western Conference, knowing every single match matters and sometimes it's going to be an uphill climb really mm-hmm. from start to finish, how do you weather that storm?
It's, again, goes back to sort of the mental side of athletics, where that is, you can look at it and be exhausted thinking about all the tough games you're going to have, whether you're playing for the Kings or whoever else. I mean, the Western Conference is obviously stacked right now. But I think and it seems like it's the case where when guys' mentalities are right, you're going to look at it and have a lot of cool opportunities to try to prove yourself, especially I think that sort of embodies a little bit of Sacramento anyways. I think it's a lot of cool tests for the Kings to be lining up against all these new sort of powerhouses that have emerged in the West with this crazy offseason. So it'll be pretty exciting to watch. And again, it's just all the mentality of finding a way to attack those in the right way.
How would you describe yourself as an NBA fan? They play during your offseason. You guys play during the summertime. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're plugged in with the Kings now that you're playing in Sacramento. You have your history with the Portland Trail Blazers, a little bit of a history with the Los Angeles Lakers. But are you I'm going to watch whatever's on NBA TNT or NBA TV tonight. Or are there certain teams and certain players you really specifically like to follow?
A little bit of both. Part of it sort of depends on what I have going on. If I'm really not doing anything and it's basketball season, there's a pretty good chance I'll just flip on whatever NBA team's playing. But back then I would always watch Kobe, so that now that that's gone, I mean, this year is going to be exciting. I'm going to watch a lot of games, I feel like, just because I want to see what the Lakers are about, what the Clippers are about, how Toronto can do without Kawhi. There's so many different question marks around the Western Conference in particular, where I think it's going to be fun to just watch whatever's going on. It'll be pretty exciting.
And I don't expect you to be a Kings expert or a Kings insider by any means, but what do you know about this club and about this team based off of the moves that they made and now you being somewhat rooted in Sacramento?
Like I said, I think a lot of it's just the exciting youth that they have, where there's a lot of people with a lot of potential. And so with that, you can always have sort of a positive outlook on being excited for the season, being excited for what they can bring to the court. And then I think expectations should be reasonably high, just because there's talent and people know that. So a lot of it's sort of what I've learned about them is I've learned about through our fan base here, through how people support us. It's something where the fans are so loyal and so passionate that I think it's only right to expect great things from the sports teams here, because we're getting so much support from the whole city.
Do you draw similarities to their youth movement and the situation that they're in, being so young in your own professional career?
Yeah, I do. I think, I kind of admire guys that are young like that and want to go and attack their profession, whatever that is. And so, it's. I think there are a lot of similarities. And I think, I don't think De'Aaron Fox would be a bad comparison, you know? Maybe. Speedy guy, so small, speedy. So
that leads to a great question. Yeah. Like, from what you know of the Sacramento Kings roster, I mean, De'Aaron Fox is the shining star, and you bring up his speed, how fast that he is. You translate that to the soccer pitcher, thinking either a fullback or a winger with that kind of speed that he has. But are there any, maybe not just Kings, NBA players in general that you think would translate really well to the soccer pitch? Like, first name that comes to mind to me is Kevin Durant, with the length that he has, perfect goalkeeper type thing, or an NBA center playing a center back position. Yeah. I mean, anything that jumped to mind?
Well, Steve Nash was a big soccer guy, so that's one. I've had buddies play, because he's been on the circuit sort of doing some soccer announcing in the last year, and so I have a buddy who actually played with him, like a pickup game of soccer in LA, which is pretty funny.
He's freak talented,
Freak talent, and so... In today's league, though, I honestly think Fox could be a good comparison, because he's so quick. He's almost built the same as like a Neymar, skinny, quick guy like that. So that might be one of the best ones.
And how are you on a basketball court?
I hope my friends listen to this, because I'm going to say I'm good and they'll get really mad about it. I can handle it.
Hey, man, you're probably better than I am. Certainly more athletic than I am. Before we wrap up, you've never been to the Golden 1 Center, though, right?
Correct, yeah.
We definitely have to get you out there. Have you ever been to Arco Arena or the old arena?
No,
where the
Kings I've really only been to NBA games in, obviously a bunch of Blazers games. Then when I was in college, I've been to some Warriors games. Beyond that, I haven't been to many other places, but from what I've seen from the outside and heard about Golden 1 Center, it's pretty incredible, so I'm going to find my way in there.
I'm biased. I can't speak for Portland, because I've never personally been to a game there, although the atmosphere looks like I'd really enjoy it.
It's a cool atmosphere.
To me, and I grew up with it, so again, I'm biased, but nothing beats the Kings atmosphere just in terms of just size, interest, the building. I mean, you get in a lot of places, you get these great venues where there's so much other stuff to do that casual fans will watch, but maybe they'll go to the bar. And there certainly is elements of that at the Golden 1 Center, but the fans are so interested and involved and into the game, regardless of how good or bad the team has been. We definitely have to get you out there at some point.
Absolutely.
If I were to ask you before we end this, looking at the NBA season, what you're most excited about or anticipated about, or what you're looking forward to the most heading into that, what would you say?
I mean... Lakers-Clippers might be the game I'm most excited about.
Finally, an L.A. rivalry.
I used to really not be a LeBron guy, because I was such a Kobe fan, and they were sort of butting heads back in the day, but I think it's pretty hard to hate him now. He's just because the way he carries himself off the field. As an athlete myself, I think it's so admirable the way he handles his business, so I've morphed into a pretty big LeBron fan, so I'm hoping that the Lakers can pick it up this year just for his sake, and those LA rivalries will be pretty exciting.
And with Dwayne Wade retiring, he's the only player left from his draft class that is still currently playing, and you think at some point he's going to slow down. And he was injured a little bit last year, but he just continues to be on top of his game. That's something any athlete has to admire, right?
Yeah,
being able to continue at that high of a level for that long.
Yeah, the longevity aspect of it is incredible, because you can obviously have one or two good seasons, and plenty of people do, but to stretch that over multiple decades is another thing entirely, and it's honestly hard to fathom for me, because now I'm looking at month six or seven of my season, and it feels long. So to think about doing this for 10, 20 years is jaw-dropping to me.
More or less impressive than what Tom Brady's done with the Patriots?
Oh, that's a great question.
Brady's in his 40s now.
He is. I don't know. I mean, the wear and tear on your body from football is another thing entirely. So I don't know. That's a toss-up. That's pretty tough.
Well, that is Sam Werner, everybody. Come and check out him and the Sacramento Republic FC. I can almost guarantee you, I don't want to put pressure on Sam, but the amount of matches that I've been to this year, and I've been to all home matches except for one, and Sam scored in almost every single one. So again, I'm not trying to put pressure on you, but Sam is one of the major reasons why the Republic are in the playoff hunt right now. They play this Saturday. Tickets are extremely affordable, and you're not going to regret coming out here. Everybody that I've talked to, that even if they weren't a soccer fan, that comes out to check out the Republic, gets hooked and gets interested really, really quickly. So make sure you are involved in that, and hopefully some fans will recognize Sam, and we'll see you at a Kings game very, very soon.
I hope so.
It's okay. You can keep that Portland interest.
Yeah, I might wear my Lily jersey underneath. We'll see.
That's okay. That's, you know, we can deal with that. We appreciate loyalty here in Sacramento. So, Sam, thank you so much for joining.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It was a pleasure to speak with Sam, and I highly encourage you to go and check out the Sacramento Republic FC. If you're around the Sacramento area in Sacramento and you haven't already, extremely affordable, a lot of fun, a great night out during the summertime. Use them as something to help get you through the long summer months and bridge the gap between the end of one NBA season and the start of another. I cover them for Sports 1140 KHDK during the summertime. I make friends with a lot of the players like Sam Werner. As soon as I discovered that he was an NBA basketball fan, I had to get him on this podcast just for our conversation. So a bit of a different episode today, just to get some outside perspective on the NBA, but a good conversation there. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. We will be back next week for more Locked On conversation and more Locked On Kings coverage. If you want to be a part of the conversation at any time, please reach out to me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Big thanks to Manscaped for the sponsor of today's episode, and I hope you have yourself a fantastic weekend. Until next time, my name is Matt George. You've been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.